If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to John chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 16 and 17. Like I said, I'm very excited about this series that the Lord's given me, and I think what excites me the most is the reassurance that I've gotten from studying all the awesome things that the Holy Spirit has done, is doing, and will do. So if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus promised His disciples that He would pray to the Father, and the Father would send them a comforter, and that comforter that He speaks of is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go back a little bit and look at this morning, who is the Holy Spirit? What is He? You notice I keep using one word over and over, and that word is He. And if you look in these two verses, you see Jesus refer to Him as Him multiple times. You see, the Holy Ghost is not an it. It's not a what. It's a divine person, just like God the Father and God the Son. You see, the Trinity is God in three Godheads. And probably for quite, well, since the existence of man, people have tried to understand the Trinity. What we have to remember when we look at the Trinity is it's not God's will that we know everything. A lot of what we do and our beliefs in God comes from faith. Our belief in what we've seen in His Word. And if we study His Word, we'll see that the Holy Spirit is God, just like God the Father and God the Son. And just real quickly, I'm going to give you just a quick analogy that came to me the other day when I was at the hospital visiting somebody. And they brought up the Trinity and how difficult it's been for them to understand the Trinity. And so if you had an apple, a whole apple, and you took that apple and you cut it into three pieces, you still have an apple. Amen? So if you take one of those pieces and you sprinkle a little bit of salt on it, now you have a salty apple, but you still have an apple. Amen? So that apple with the salt on it will sit right here, and that represents God the Father. Then we take the second piece of the apple and we put some caramel on it. So now we have a carameled apple, but we still have what? We have an apple. That carameled apple represents God the Son. Then we take the third piece of apple and we put it into an apple pie. It becomes the filling of an apple pie. And even though it's the filling of an apple pie, it is still what? It is still an apple. So even though this apple has been dispersed into three different pieces, and each piece of the apple has its own purpose, its own job to do, its own will, and its own purpose. And that's the same thing with the Trinity. The Trinity is God in three people. God the Father is the planner. God the Son accomplishes the plan. And God the Holy Spirit applies that plan in our life. And if you can look at it that way, there is no need to ask yourselves, well, why did God have to divide Himself into three beings? Does it matter? Can we truly, does His Word tell us why He did it? No. The why doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we see in Scripture that all three of these deities are God. They have to be God, and we know that because of the very first commandment. Thou shalt not worship any other God but God. But yet the Bible tells us to worship the Holy Spirit, and it tells us to worship Jesus Christ. So if they were not God, God would be defying himself when he tells us not to worship any other God. So that's all I have to say about the Trinity this morning. So all three of these are equal. But yet there is kind of a, I don't want to use the word pecking order, but no other word comes to mind. God the Son is subordinate to God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is subordinate to God the Son and God the Holy, or God the Father. But yet they are all God. They just have different places that they've done their work. You know, we all know that God the Father was part of creation, amen? And in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and the word was in the beginning, and the word was Christ. So that tells us that Jesus, who is the Word, was with God the Father during the creation. And then we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Holy Spirit himself was at the beginning of creation. It says that he was standing over the waters. The Spirit of God was standing over the waters. So all three of these divine persons were at the beginning because they were all God. The Bible says that about the identity of the Holy Spirit, it puts it quite simple. The Bible declares that the Holy Spirit is God. In the Old Testament, he was referred to as the Spirit of the Lord. As you read through the Old Testament, you see verse after verse where it speaks of the Spirit of the Lord. The prophets were delivered their prophecies by the Spirit of the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. And then in the New Testament, we see the Spirit of the Lord is now called the Holy Spirit. But yet, they are one and the same. Amen? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 teaches us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, that points to a true in God, a three-person God. Also, we can see that the Holy Spirit is God because he possesses characteristics of God. His omnipresence is seen in Psalms 139, 7 and 8. Where can I go from you, Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. The psalmist is telling us that the Spirit is everywhere, and that is what omnipresence means. And God is omnipresence. Not time, matter, or space can hold God back. He is not inflicted by any of those. Time, space, and matter mean nothing to him. They can't constrain him. His omnipresence means he's everywhere all the time. And the psalmist says the same thing about the Spirit, that he is everywhere all the time. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, we see the characteristics of omniscience. Omniscience refers to knowing everything. Some of us think we have omniscience, but we ain't got it. But 1 Corinthians says, but God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the man's spirit within him? That tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells with God because he is God. You see, nobody knows you better than you know you, except for God. Because he knows things about you that you don't even know. He knows what you're going to do when you leave this church, even if you don't know it. When we go home from church, me and Jessica, we always say what we're going to have for lunch. God already knows what we're going to have for lunch. He's omniscience. He knows everything. And right here, 1 Corinthians says that the Holy Spirit is omniscience too, because he knows all of the things that God knows. He knows the will of God. He knows what God is thinking, because he is God. One thing that the Holy Spirit is not, He is not a ghost. He don't float around in the air like Casper. You know, when I first started attending church, I never even really heard of Holy Spirit. I read the King James Bible, where the Holy Spirit is referred to mostly as the Holy Ghost. And the Pentecostal church, that's what they called Him, the Holy Ghost. And so that kind of puts in people's minds that He might be a spirit or that He might be a ghost, when in fact, He is God. And He has a divine body just like God has. When Jesus was here on this earth, He had the body of man. But when He ascended back into heaven, His word tells us that He received back His divine body. And when we leave this earth and we go to heaven, then we will have our divine body. You ain't taking this old rugged, nasty, falling apart, fleshly body with you. It's going to stay in the ground and the worms will eat. But you're going to get something much better. You're going to get what God intended for you to have in the very beginning. And the Holy Spirit is a big, big part of this. So the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. We can know that the Holy Spirit is indeed a divine person because He possesses a mind, emotion, and a will. A mind, emotion, and a will. God also has a mind, emotions, and of course He has a will. You see, the Holy Spirit thinks and He knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit reaches everything, even the depths of God." The Spirit knows everything. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us, "He who descends is the one also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might feel all things." The Holy Spirit feels everything that we feel. When we are sad, the Holy Spirit feels that sadness. That doesn't mean that He's sad, but He feels it. When we are happy, He feels our happiness. He has the ability to feel. And when it says that we cause Him to grieve, when we seek not the Spirit of the Lord, He becomes saddened. He becomes heartbroken because He knows all things and He knows the destruction that will take place if we do not seek Him. Our lives will fall apart. Our lives will become unraveled. And He feels this, and He feels sorrow, and He grieves, but He also has wrath, just like God. He can get angry, just like God. And sometimes He uses His power in a manner that we may not find acceptable to get us to turn back to the right path. You know, I don't know why all my cars are broke, but they're broke. Is the Lord trying to show me something or is Satan attacking me? I don't know. All I do, and it doesn't really matter if I know which or the other. All that matters is that I put my faith in the Holy Spirit and my faith in God that they're going to take care of it. That's all that matters. See, we try to dig too deep and we try to wonder, God, why this? God, why that? Now, it does not hurt to ask the Lord, but if He does not answer you, accept that and believe that He has your best interest at heart. That's why, look at it this way. God lives in here. He's right here with you. So not only is He with you in the beginning of a trial, but He's with you through the trial, and He'll be with you at the end of the trial. And what is so awesome about it is He already knows the course to take to get from point A to point B. Because He is God. Only God knows these things. The Spirit intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We have two intercessors. We have God the Son, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who intercedes for us. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, who also intercedes for us. But you see, they intercede for us in two different manners. The Son sits at the right hand of the Father, and again, you know, I'm not the most educated person, and so sometimes I have a hard time coming up with what I'm trying to say. But what Jesus is doing, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and when we mess up, he reminds God, even though God don't need reminding. The Son says, I paid for that. I paid for that. Remember, I paid for that as well. And so God doesn't condemn us for our sin and for our faults, because Jesus is up there interceding. Now the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in the manner of what you just said in Romans. When we are at our lowest point and we cannot even hardly get out of bed, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with the Father. He prays for us, and he takes our prayers and he lifts them up to God. He gives us our strength and he gives us our comforter. Jesus calls him the comforter. He told his disciples, I'll send you a helper, but he also said, I'll send you a comforter. And so when we are going through these deep, hard, dark places, not only does the Holy Spirit lead us through them, but he's there to help us through them, and he's there to give us the comfort and strength that we need to be able to get through them. He plays such an important role in our lives. He makes decisions according to his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, and according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appropriates to each one individually as he wills. These gifts that we are given by God are given to us at the direction, the sole direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit decides who gets what gift. And I'm sure that his decisions are made because he knows all things. And he knows who to give what gifts to. But the most important part of this for today is as he wills. He is a divine presence, just like the Father and the Son. So all these things point to the truth that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So what does Jesus say? And this is just real brief. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit testify about him. John 15, 26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. You know, you don't get what you get when you come to church just because you listen to the guy standing up here. You get what you get because the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right this moment. If you come in here with an open heart and an open mind expecting to hear from the Holy Spirit, you will not be disappointed. He ministers to us, and he takes these words that I speak and he puts them in a manner that you understand and how they apply to you. Jesus also said the Holy Spirit's presence within the life of Christians is better than Jesus' presence on earth. Jesus is saying that we are better off that he leaves so the Holy Spirit can come. Because he knows the workings of the Holy Spirit, and he knows that for now he has done his part. And so now it's time for the third person of the Trinity, to do His. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." See, Jesus sees now that it's time for everything that has taken place so far by God the Father and God the Son. He sees now it's time for the Holy Spirit to come so it can be applied to us. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is as important in our lives as any other of the two deities of the Trinity. They are all one God, but they work differently in our lives at different seasons of our lives. And see, that just shows you how powerful and all-knowing God is. God set all this up from the beginning. And because the Son is God and the Holy Spirit is God, they know exactly when they need to do their part. And so in the upcoming weeks, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit was with Jesus during His ministry. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit had a part in salvation. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit had a part in the resurrection. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit had a part in the regeneration of us, our sanctification, how He plays a role in our lives today, and the role that He is going to have in things yet to come. All these things that the Bible speaks of, the Holy Spirit plays a very important role. Not to say that His role is any more important than the other two deities. They're not. They can't be because it's all one person. So let us not think that one deity is this, and one deity is this, and one deity is this, without remembering that they're all God. God, three Godheads. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with grateful hearts this morning, and Father, we thank You for Your word, and Father, as we move forward with our learning of the Holy Spirit and all the things that He has done and is doing and will be doing, Father, we just pray that our hearts and minds be open to this truth and that we can come to fully realize the importance of worshiping the Holy Spirit as we worship You, and to praise the Holy Spirit as we praise You, and to see the importance that He has in our life today. That without Him, there is no hope for us. Without His guidance and His love and His comfort with us here on this earth, until the day comes that we join You and the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven, that we may worship all three together. Father, we just praise You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen.